It's time for Good Health, an opportunity to hear from our local healthcare community about the most current medical topics and how they relate to your healthy lifestyle. Good Health is brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. Now let's welcome our host, Nick Bejarano.
Hello and welcome to Good Health, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. I am your host, Nick Bejarano. Today in the studio, I have part of our Diabetes and Nutrition Center team at Good Shepherd Healthcare System, Cassandra Zabel, Katrina Larson, and Rachel Tate. If you have a question, send us an email at kohugoodhealth@gmail.com. So welcome, Cassandra, Katrina, and Rachel.
Good morning.
I wanted to start with some basic principles before we dive too deep here. I know that you are all part of the Diabetes and Nutrition Center at Good Shepherd Healthcare System. First, could you educate our listeners on what you actually do?
Sure, Nick. So we know that everybody eats, and nutrition is such a huge part of what we do every day, but it also has a huge impact on our health. And so whether you're recovering from surgery, dealing with chronic illness, or just trying to maintain your best health and prevent disease, we focus on nutrition and how to support your best health, whatever stage you're in.
And to kind of add to that, dietitians work in a surprisingly wide variety of settings. They work in places like grocery stores, doing grocery store tours and helping customers make healthy choices. They work in hospitals, in long-term care facilities and nursing homes, outpatient clinics, eating disorder clinics, and some dietitians even work for professional sports teams, ensuring the professional athletes stay healthy and have enough energy to perform. And they even work for food companies, developing new foods and doing research and development.
Wow, that's really cool. It sounds like you guys could or do quite a bit. So if somebody that's listening who doesn't know much about what you guys do and how you are able to do that, what kind of education would they need to have to be able to do what you guys do?
Yeah, to be a dietitian, you actually need quite a bit of training and education. You have to have a bachelor's of science in dietetics. The three of us have master's degrees, and in 2024, a master's degree will actually be required for the field.
Wow.
And then also, you have to complete a year-long internship. And during this time, you do supervised practice. So it's kind of like a residency for physicians, where you're working in the field, but you're being supervised with what you do. And then after that, you're eligible to sit for the national examination, which you have to pass to be a dietitian. And then you have to continue to be licensed in the state that you practice in.
Wow.
And continue to get education and training throughout your entire career.
Sounds pretty intense, or could be intense, but I guess if you're passionate about what you do, then it makes the difference up there. So the Diabetes and Nutrition Center has been around for quite some time at Good Shepherd Healthcare System, but why don't you share with our listeners what services you have to offer?
So we have quite a few services. So we have our diabetes education program, which is accredited by the American Diabetes Association. So in that, we offer group classes or individual appointments with the three of us or our other dietitians, several of us who are also certified diabetes educators. So we cover all the areas of for diabetes, so talking about nutrition and how that affects diabetes, exercise, how to check your blood sugar and what those numbers mean, talking about medications, how to prevent complications, or if people have other issues with diabetes, how to manage those. We also talk about some of the mental health issues with diabetes. So, you know, it's overwhelming sometimes to be able to manage diabetes, so how to deal with that emotionally. So we focus a lot on the lifestyle piece of diabetes, but we also do some medication management and some insulin pump therapy. And then we work a lot with the physicians to not only educate people about how to manage their diabetes, but we do some medication management with the physicians. In addition to the diabetes program, we have our nutrition counseling. So people can come in for individual appointments on a wide variety of topics for nutrition questions or to help them manage their disease. So anything from weight loss or weight management, pre-diabetes or eating disorders, things like heart disease, so high cholesterol or high blood pressure, people with food allergies or irritable bowel syndrome or other digestive diseases, we can help them. And along with people who just want to know how to generally eat healthy, whether or not they have any kind of medical condition. And then the last thing we have is our ACT program, which is a group weight management program. So it's a six-month program that has a total of 13 classes. And we teach people not only what to eat, you know, good healthy foods and portions, but we also talk about the why and the how we eat, so the food behaviors and how we can change those. So
I'm kind of sitting here with my mouth wide yeah. open, like, wow, that is quite a bit of things that yeah. you guys are able to provide for the community. So let's say if I wanted to get connected with you guys and see what services you had available, mm-hmm. how does that work? Do people in the community need a physician's referral to come to you? Can they just call up and make an appointment? How does that actually work?
Well, Cassandra mentioned three main areas where we provide service. First is the diabetes portion. Mm-hmm. For that, we do require a doctor referral. However, we can reach out to physicians and work with them to get that referral. Okay. So either a doctor can choose to refer you, or if you feel like you want education, we can reach out to your doctor and see about getting that referral to get you in. And that's for our individual diabetes sessions or for our group classes. And also for patients with kidney problems, we do need a referral. For the second part that Cassandra talked about, our nutrition counseling, we don't need a referral. Anybody can call and ask for an appointment. It is helpful for us to get information from your doctor, so sometimes we will reach out to the doctor and ask for some information or get a referral, but it's not required at all. And also for our ACT program, we don't need a referral at all. Anybody can call and ask to sign up or receive that education and support.
That is really cool to hear that you guys are very supportive of people that are actually looking for your services, and when they call in, you're able to help them get the referral if they need it, or you can just work with them on a one-on-one basis, or they can join any of the programs that you have available. That is really cool. So is there a fee involved with your services? How does that process actually work, or are some of the classes that you offer free?
So there are the different types of appointments. We see the diabetic patients and the kidney patients. And for those individuals, we'll bill their insurance, and insurance covers those types of services. However, the client would still be responsible for co-pays, deductibles, and co-insurance like they would with any appointment. However, we do have scholarships available for individuals who feel they can't cover the expense of their appointment, so we can kind of help with that. And then, thanks to a grant from Good Shepherd, 90% of the fees for the nutrition counseling appointments are actually paid for by the hospital. And wow. that's because Good Shepherd really understands the importance of using nutrition as preventative health care. So this means for an hour-long appointment, the individual would pay $8, and Good Shepherd would cover the remaining $72.
That is really, really amazing.
Yeah, it's a huge discount for individuals, and it makes the services really readily available for anyone.
And really affordable.
Yeah.
That is really cool. So when somebody comes and takes part of your services, how do you actually measure success? What makes for a successful consultation with a patient?
There's a lot of things that we use to measure success. Of course, we're looking at things like changes in weight or blood pressure or improved lab values. So those are always good measures of success.
Okay.
But sometimes people come in maybe for a one-time appointment or maybe only two appointments. And so it's not soon enough to see maybe an improvement in labs. So we're also looking for behavior changes. Maybe they've made food choices that are different, or they've added exercise, or they're checking their blood sugar like their doctor recommended. So those are good things. But almost more importantly than that, we're looking for changes in patients' attitudes and them being able to feel confident that they can manage whatever condition they're trying to manage through nutrition, or that they feel that empowerment to be able to go home and make the changes that they have been wanting to make and achieve their goals. So sometimes it's not so much just teaching people what they need to know or what foods to eat, but it's also giving them the tools and the confidence to go home and actually implement those. And so we can see that after just one appointment, where people feel, you know, they come in thinking, oh, I have diabetes and it's going to be terrible, I have to follow this crazy diet, and then they leave thinking, this isn't so bad, I can do this, I can eat the foods I like, and I can manage this disease.
Wow, that is really, really impressive. So when people, after they have your services, and I know I'm kind of getting a little off topic here, but How do you follow up with them, or do you follow up with them after some time just to see where they are on their journey to improving their lifestyle or improving their health choices, I guess, that they're making? Do you guys do that?
We do. We, for our group classes, especially like our diabetes group classes, we always have a 3-month follow-up so we can check in on people and see how it's been going for the last few months. For a lot of our individual patients, we like to have them come back in 3 or 6 months to check in. Some patients like to come in more often. We have some patients that come in maybe once or twice a year just to kind of check in, get any updated information, and just have that kind of that time to see that they're still doing and be able to see the improvements. You know, we can say, look, this is what your labs or your weight or your blood sugar was 6 months ago, and look what it is now.
Very cool. You're listening to Good Health, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System on KOHU. With me is the Good Shepherd Diabetes and Nutrition Center team, and I'm joined by Cassandra, Katrina, and Rachel. If you have any questions, please send us an email to kohugoodhealth@gmail.com. I really do appreciate you all being here on the show with us today. We just left off talking a little bit about success and what that looks like for individuals and how you measure that and how you follow up and track people. But I want to switch gears a little bit here. I know that for our listeners, this might be a lot of new information that we're talking about. And I want to talk about the month of March. What makes March so significant to your team?
Well, Nick, March is National Nutrition Month, so I can say happy National Nutrition Month, everyone. National Nutrition Month, actually, it began in 1973 as a week-long event in March of that year. And in 1980, it became a whole month-long campaign because there was so much interest from the public. And so what it is, National Nutrition Month, is a nutrition education and information campaign that's created annually in March. It's sponsored by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Okay. The campaign, it focuses on the importance of making informed food choices and developing sound eating habits and physical activity behaviors. So our goal during March is to raise awareness of eating and nutrition and physical activity. Every year there's a different theme. And so this year's theme is Put Your Best Fork Forward. This is meant to serve as a reminder that each one of us holds the tool for making healthier food choices. So our focus this year is talking to people about making small changes, little changes over time that can add up to big improvements. And so Put Your Best Fork Forward just reminds you, you're holding that tool in your hand, that fork that you're eating with, and you can make little changes every day. Every little choice you make can add up to big changes in your health.
That is really important. I had never thought of it that way myself, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are probably holding their fork, eating their breakfast right now, thinking, man, I have the power to make a difference in my life today by what I am eating. So I'm going to ask another obvious question here, but can everyone participate in National Nutrition Month? And how can our community get involved in National Nutrition Month?
Yes, so of course everyone can participate because we all eat and we all do our daily activities, so we can all work on trying to make those small changes in our health. So picking something small each day or each week, maybe it's adding an extra serving of vegetables or substituting a sugary beverage for a glass of water. All of those little things each day or each during the month can help you participate. You can, so that as an individual, as a community, you know, we can all encourage our coworkers, our friends, our family members to maybe do one of those small changes with us. And then you can participate in some of the events that we have planned at the hospital.
So what events do we have planned this
good
month?
Good question. So we, each week, we're sponsoring a topic around small changes. So to kind of help give people ideas of what small changes could they make this week. So the first week is about drinking more water. So picking some small change you can make to help you drink more water and stay more hydrated. Hmm. Week two is about having a healthy breakfast. So picking some change you can have to have a healthy breakfast. Week three is about encouraging people to choose healthy snacks. So maybe swapping chips for some nuts or crunchy vegetables. And then week four is about including exercise or physical activity in their routine. So we're going to be encouraging people each week to pick a small change around those. And of course, more small changes is good, but at least those four. And then on March 14th, we have a booth that we're going to have in the outside the cafeteria at the hospital, where all of our dietitians are going to be there, and we're going to be giving out information and answering people's questions about nutrition. And then on March 16th, we're hosting a lunch and learn that we're sponsoring along with the wellness program at Good Shepherd. And the topic is going to be about boosting immunity through nutrition and healthy eating.
Very cool. So I just want to kind of ask you some questions about some of the things you mentioned for each of the weeks here.
Sure.
I'm kind of getting off script a little bit. But water.
Yes.
So I know for some people, water is an issue. What? Mm-hmm. How would you get past that hurdle of, you know, water doesn't taste good, or I don't
yes.
like water, I want to drink my Coke instead?
Yes.
What are your recommendations for that?
One of the great things you can do is flavor your water. So doing some infused water where maybe you throw in some cucumber or limes or other fruits into your water so that you're getting that flavor, so it's not a flavorless drink, is a great way to get in more water.
All right. Now let's talk about breakfast, which is week two. So what would you recommend to make somebody's breakfast a little bit more healthy?
Well, first, the most important thing is to eat breakfast. I know that there are many people
yes.
out there who are in a rush in the morning and just skip it or just go with a morning
Including
coffee
myself,
or beverage.
Like I mentioned to you earlier, I skipped breakfast today.
And then when you're thinking about breakfast, trying to choose a really balanced meal with carbohydrates and proteins and a little bit of good healthy fat, that'll really keep you full or longer, so you don't get that 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock slump where you're just dying for something to eat and you reach for the candy bar.
Which brings us to snacks, which is week three. So what are some healthy snacks that you would recommend? Is a Snicker bar a healthy snack, or potato chips, or would you recommend something different?
As much as we all love those foods, and on occasion there might be room for those in your healthy diet, mostly you want to be focusing on some healthy snacks, maybe some mixed nuts or some vegetables, maybe vegetables dipped in hummus or salsa, if you don't like them plain. So those are some good options.
Great. Which now brings us to our fourth week, which is exercise. So, you know, it's well past our New Year's resolution time, and I'm sure people are starting to taper off from their New Year's resolutions here. So how would you encourage to continue exercising, or what do you recommend just to even get started with exercising?
One of the best things about exercise is you don't have to do it all at once. So for some people, getting to the gym for an hour is just not feasible with their schedule. But even adding in little bits of exercise throughout the day, so taking the stairs every day instead of the elevator, maybe parking further away so you walk further to get into work, or maybe using half of your lunch break to take a walk. Anything like that will just kind of increase your activity will be beneficial in the long run.
Well, very cool. So can you tell us a little bit more about the lunch and learn that you're going to be having on March 16th? So who is going to be presenting? Are all of you going to be there presenting?
We are all going to be there
okay.
Presenting. So the topic is, the title is?
Nutrition and immunity.
Okay.
So I'll be presenting actually the topic. And we're going to be focusing on what you can do to boost your immune system. I know it's been a particularly rough year for a lot of people, I know, when as far as sickness is concerned. And so we wanted to talk to people about how you can support your best immunity and try to defend your body from some of those little germs and bugs that are making people so sick. So it should be an interesting event. We'll keep it accessible and understandable for everyone and hopefully have a little fun.
And this is open to the community as well?
Yes,
it is.
Okay,
yes.
And it is going to be in Conference Center 1 or 2, I believe,
one
and
of
it
those.
Is at noon.
Yes,
at noon.
All right.
And Nick, I will say seating is limited, and it is first
okay.
come, first serve. So if this is a priority for you to come, we do recommend that you come a little bit earlier on time and make sure you can get a seat.
Okay. And is lunch provided for
yes,
this?
Lunch will be provided, and it is a free event.
Wow. So for those of you listening, they're going to be having a free event with a free lunch, and it's going to be all about nutrition. I'm sure it's going to be really delicious and a lot of great information as well. Once again, you're listening to Good Health, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System on KOHU. Today we're talking about National Nutrition Month with Cassandra, Katrina, and Rachel. And it looks like we did get some questions in, which I believe one of you may have the questions here. So what do our listeners want to know?
Well, the first question I have here from one of our listeners is type 2 diabetes hereditary? And I've gotten this question quite a bit. Type 2 diabetes does run in families. There can be a genetic relationship there. However, just because someone in your family has type 2 diabetes doesn't mean you're destined to get it. There are other factors involved. But if someone in your family does have type 2 diabetes, your risk is higher. You might be more likely to develop it. So it's certainly something to be aware of and talk to your doctor about. Let your doctor know if you do have it running in your family. If you're aware of that, let your doctor know.
And on top of that, I think one of the best things to know is if it does run in your family, you can prevent it by starting early to, you know, form those healthy lifestyle habits, maintain weight and things, and it can be prevented even if it does run in your family.
Great.
The next question that we have is, can type 2 diabetes be reversed? And this is a common question we get because there's a lot of things out there that say you can, you know, reverse diabetes if you do these things. And so I think that the key is that diabetes can't be cured. It's never going to fully go away. But it can be reversed in the sense that if you make those healthy lifestyle changes and you're eating the right foods and you're exercising and you're maintaining weight, or if you've lost weight, then it's so well controlled, it's like you don't have diabetes, and your blood sugar is normal and you're not having any of the complications from uncontrolled diabetes. However, if you stop eating right, you stop exercising, you gain weight, that diabetes is going to come right back. That blood sugar is going to come up. The other important thing to keep in mind is diabetes isn't just about blood sugar. So while your blood sugar might be normal and that's going to help manage things, you have to keep that lifestyle in order to keep that diabetes controlled. It never really fully goes away or is cured.
Hence why you guys are focusing on those four different areas for the month. Yes. And encouraging people to change their lifestyle little by little with each of those different habits.
Right.
There.
Yes.
So is there another question as well? Did we get another one?
Yes. So the next one was, at what point is a fasting blood sugar level in the danger zone, and what are the contributing factors to having a high fasting blood sugar? So with fasting blood sugar, a normal fasting blood sugar is less than 100. It's considered 100 to 126 is considered pre-diabetes. And when it's above 126, that's when they have the criteria to diagnose diabetes. Mm. So those are the guidelines as far as diagnosing diabetes. Once someone has diabetes, the goal would be to keep their fasting blood sugar under 130 or under 120.
Very good. So I'm going to ask you another question too, but I know hemoglobin A1C also plays into that once somebody is actually diagnosed with diabetes. For somebody that's listening that may be a little bit concerned, what does that mean, or what is the contributing factor to hemoglobin A1C, and what does that actually mean to somebody?
So the A1C is a 3-month average of your blood sugar. And so the goal for anyone with diabetes, depending on which organization's numbers you use, is to maintain an A1C of either less than 7 or less than 6.5. Some people will have other goals, maybe a little higher or a little lower if they have other medical conditions going on, or age or lifestyle, but those are the general recommendations to keep that A1C at least under 7.
So I guess it's on a scale of 1 to 7. So where do you actually want people to be? Obviously, you said below 7, but what is like the ideal?
So the normal range for, you know, if someone didn't have any diabetes or pre-diabetes would be 4 to 6.
Okay.
So ideally for anyone, we like to see them in that 4 to 6 range. Even with diabetes, the ideal would be, you know, somewhere under, you know, between 5.5 and 6.5, I guess.
Okay. Well, very good. So I have a couple more questions for you guys too. If a listener were to contact you for nutrition counseling, what would that look like? Can you walk us through the first visit?
Yeah, the first visit is going to be a little bit different depending on why the person is there, what they want to get out of the appointment. But typically, we might collect information like their height, their weight. We might get some of their lab values from their physicians if we need that. We'll ask about their medical history or any medications they take. And then from there, we'll meet usually one-on-one with the individual. We'll start out by asking them what they want to get out of the appointment and asking why they want to be there. And we'll kind of use that information and tailor a plan specific to that person. So from there, we can help them meet their individual goals related to nutrition. We can help them develop healthy meal plans, make lifestyle changes, and really promote their best health based on what their goals are and why they're there to see us.
Okay. That sounds fair enough. And I guess it's kind of individualized based mm-hmm. on each individual that would actually come to you guys then.
Yeah, very much so.
Very much so. And we do a lot of looking at either if people bring in food records, we can look through those, or we'll kind of do a diet recall where we're asking them, okay, what do you eat? What are your normal habits? What kind of physical activity are you doing? So that we can find that best bridge for, you know, what they're currently doing and what improvements they can make.
Very cool. So those are all things that kind of encompass or are needed to live an optimal life, I guess, really, or live life to the fullest or best ability that somebody could. And that's what you guys are there for, to help people do that, right?
Yes.
We hope to support everyone's best health. No matter why you come to us, we want to help you find your best health, even if you're living with a chronic disease or if you feel pretty healthy already and just have questions. We would just want to support your best health.
Very cool. Before we go, I just have one other question here. If someone listening knows they need the services of the Diabetes and Nutrition Center, how can they get in touch with you?
Yes, so there's three main ways to get in touch with us. So they can always give us a call. Our phone number is 541-667-3517. They can stop by our office at any time and ask us questions. We're there Monday through Friday, and we're located in the basement of the Medical Plaza building.
On Fridays, we do close at noon.
Yes, we do only half days on Fridays. Or they can email us, and our department email is diabetesnutrition@gshealth.org.
Okay. Well, thank you, Cassandra, Katrina, and Rachel, for joining us on the Good Health Radio Show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome. And these ladies are all part of the Diabetes and Nutrition Center at Good Shepherd Healthcare System in Hermiston. For more information or to schedule a consultation, please call 541-667-3517.
The Oregon Amber Alert Plan is a voluntary cooperative effort between Oregon's radio and television broadcast.